Mr. Justin J.P. Trudeau.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Canada, her heirs and successors. So help me God. I, Justin P.J. Trudeau, do solemnly and sincerely swear that I shall be a true and faithful servant to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II as a member of Her Majesty's Privy Council for Canada. I will, in all things to be treated, debated, and resolved in Privy Council, faithfully, honestly, and truly declare my mind and my opinion. I shall keep secret all matters committed and revealed to me in this capacity, or that shall be secretly treated of in council. Generally, in all things, I shall do as a faithful and true servant ought to do for Her Majesty, so help me God. I, Justin P.J. Trudeau, do solemnly and sincerely promise and swear that I will truly and faithfully, and to the best of my skill and knowledge, execute the powers and trusts reposed in me as Prime Minister, so help me God.
The Prime Minister will now sign the oath books, followed by the Governor General and the Clerk of the Privy Council and Secretary of the Cabinet, who will sign the oath books to formally witness the swearing-in of the Prime Minister. Le Premier ministre signera maintenant les registres de serment, suivi du Gouverneur Général et de la greffière du Conseil privé et Secrétaire du Cabinet, qui signeront les registres de serment pour attester l'assermentation du Premier ministre.
Good evening, everybody. It is Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. It is 8:29 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I do this show Sunday, Thursday, somewhere between 8 and 8:30. And I am always available to... Well, what am I trying to say? The show schedule is at fakeologist.com/live. That's where I broadcast from many sites, including YouTube, Facebook, BeLive, Twitch, and FakoTube. FakoTube is my site. That's where all the videos of this show are stored. And you can download them directly for free. You can get a list of the show from FakoTube. They usually work. Or you can sign up at fakeologist.com/blog. You can send me an email at im@fakeologist.com. And I will put you on two lists. I'll put you on the blog and I'll put you on the forums. Forums is my subpage as seen on the screen here. This is where I post all kinds of stuff and other people can post to this site as well. We have about, if you go to the main board index, it looks like we have 99 people here on the forums. I'm trying to push everyone towards this area so a lot of the information can get saved and searched. Now, I missed yesterday's show because we are in day two of Snowville here. It's been very snowy here in Kanuckistan. As a matter of fact, I'll just show you my weather map just to prove, if I can find it here, that we are under much snow. I'll open this in a new tab, and then you're going to see it here. Let's just see. Why isn't that coming up? Hold on a sec. Here we go. There is the North American map. And they didn't really predict this very well. The weather prediction is pretty spotty lately because there are no planes flying in the sky compared to the old days. And all planes gather weather intelligence, of course. I don't know how they could have missed this one because this one is a huge swath all the way from Mexico right to probably Newfoundland over here. So I'm right here on Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and we're in the middle of yet another snowstorm. Had one yesterday. The reason why I missed the show is because it makes my commute times twice as long, and by the time I get home, I'm tired. Cold weather and the snow really wears me down. I don't really have the energy or inclination to broadcast. But there's my proof, though. You can see that this is a snow event that's going to last a while. If you animate this map, you're going to see that moving quite slowly. I like this map because it shows snow, ice, and rain. And this weather pattern follows the Appalachians. And the Appalachians seem to be the pathway of this moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. It's a very consistent weather stream, and it's probably why the Great Lakes are so full of water all the time, because they get filled up with snow and ice and rain. So there you go. There's my excuse. There is your weather map of the day of North America. And perhaps some of you Europeans or non-North Americans have never had a good look at the radar. Can even zoom in on it if you click. For some reason, the Canadian radar has been taken offline. We can't access it. So this is an American site. But this is a better site. I guess they pull in their radar data from Kanuckistan, where I live. And I was watching a podcast where they were speculating that this big white ball that is located north of our city was some... What did they say that was? They were speculating on it was a 5G tower or something. No, it's a radar ball. It broadcasts a radar signal 360 degrees. That's what that big white ball is north of Toronto and King City. But anyway, you can see we're in the middle of a pretty deep snow event. So there you go. So that's where I was yesterday. Oh, I was late today, but I figured, what the heck. I'll check in with you guys because I do have some paying customers and I appreciate them. And of course, all the regulars, you guys that show up. I feel bad when I can't make it, but that's why I'm here. So I'll give you a bit of time. Now, the opening thing that I played tonight was our crime sinister, Justin Trudeau. He's supposedly in the crosshairs. And I got this tip from the fantastic Jason Kristoff. This guy is he's a great commentator. I really want to get him on the show just to give him kudos. He doesn't need any interviewing. He has his own podcast, but he does go and do other podcasts. And I just wanted him on the show just to highlight his talent. And I got so many gems out of his latest interview with Patrick Timpone. So many gems I pulled out of there. And he just dropped this idea that the crime sinisters of the British colonies, of which Canada is explicitly one, and the United States is an implied one, they swear allegiance to the Queen. Absolutely. They don't work for you. So don't get any illusions that these mind control instruments, no matter what shade of party they are, they don't work for the people. They work for the Queen and all of the nobility that are surrounding her, the elite. So everything that's going on, you may as well call the Queen if you don't like what's happening, because she is the front person for the elite. The elite just put the government in between the elite and the the slaves to keep us distracted and keep us thinking that these people can do something. But I think most people realize, or some people realize, that once you're member of parliament or you're a congressman, once they're in power, you'll never hear from them again. And they don't want to hear from you. I guarantee most Canadians have no idea who their member of parliament is. You only hear from them when they want your vote. But after that, they are just slaves themselves. They have no voice. All the power, as you just witnessed. Now, I think the crime sinister, he swore about 5 or 6 oaths there. I don't know if you were listening. But he swore an oath to the Queen. He's her servant, so that makes him a slave. And he also swore to keep secrets. Anything he says between her, him, and the Privy Council. The Privy Council is the ruling elite, the executive that runs Canada. No, we don't vote for the Privy Council. The Crime Sinister is a member of the Privy Council by being selected as leader of the party, but overall, they are not elected at all. And we don't get to know what they say. So once you cast your ballot and put the people in place, you'll never hear from them again. And actually, they're not really allowed to say anything either, because they realize once they're in, they got no power whatsoever. They can't even speak out of turn. I just thought that was really very, very good. I always knew that the Queen ran the place, but when you hear it, when you hear those words, when you swear an oath, and it was nice to see God is at the top of the pops here in Canada. They swear to God. So this is a God fearing God created constitution. He's in all the laws, and he's right at the top. So God is first and the Queen second. And everybody else just falls in line. We as the slaves are way down at the bottom. Anyway, I just thought it was really worth playing that. And that was thanks to Jason Kristoff. He's the one that brought that up. And I thought it was really fantastic. He went all over the place with his interview. He's got so much on his mind all the time. And one of the things he talked about in this entry I have here, drugging you, the enemy, he was just talking about how the elite have us slaves completely under mind control, mainly because they drug us. In the morning, they've programmed people to jack themselves up on coffee, which is toxic. And then, of course, during this PSYOP, they've made it a priority to make sure that the liquor stores are open. Make sure the pot stores are open. These are all harmful chemicals that poison the brain. And really, they render the populace weak and ineffective. They couldn't possibly mount any kind of assault on the elite. While the churches were kept closed, and those are in the Constitution to be left alone and unfettered by the authority, there's nothing in the Constitution that says liquor stores have to be kept open at all times. But of course, that's what was happening, or is happening. Yeah, we're still under lockdown in Ontario. I think they may have relaxed something this week, but it doesn't really matter. Too cold to take advantage of anything that they may or may not have relaxed. So I don't think anyone really cares at this point. One of the other things that he brought up about basically drugging the population, and you should listen to this whole podcast. It's really good. Everything I post, I put links to. So this blue line here, in case you're new to the hyperlinking feature of the internet, you just click on this and it'll bring up the podcast. But I did clip one more thing, and he did mentioned that the elite target blacks, and I thought really was interesting that they've been targeting blacks for the last forever, how long, however many years they've been bringing drugs in since the 50s. They broke up the black family because they consider the blacks one of the greatest threats. And that's why they really targeted them. Not only are, in general, did he say that blacks are stronger physically, but he says there's evidence that black people have higher IQs. That's why the elite targeted the blacks. So listen to this.
And the Clintons and their coterie, which are still running the U.S. today, premeditated investments and premeditated social engineering to get exactly where they needed to go in regards to their plan. Disempower the population, infiltrate stronger communities with the drugs. They're always after the black community because the black community is the strongest physically, and there's evidence that they're also stronger IQ-wise if they're let grow without stress or without poisoning.
Well, the whole Mean Arkansas whole story, boy, it's there if you want to look at it with Clinton and cocaine and the CIA. They've actually made movies about it. There was a movie called American Made. That's what it was about. I was surprised the movie got made, American Made, but it did. Jason, can we take a little break here? And
so there you go. I thought that was pretty interesting. Now I'm going to go look up the movie American Made documentary. That's the kind of stuff I like to look up. Oh, American Made. What? Tom Cruise is in it? Okay. What's that about here? Let's play the trailer. Come on now. Let's see. Wow, what a slow site.
Hi, my name is Doug Lyman. I'm the director of American Made, and this is our trailer. The thing I loved most about making this film was doing these flying sequences with Tom, because he's a pilot and he did all his own flying and he really was an extraordinary, Tom's an extraordinary pilot. Barry Seal, who he plays, was this, you know, unbelievable pilot flying for the CIA in the 80s, who basically never saw a rule. He wasn't excited to break, you know, was sort of attracted to the impossible.
Welcome to Miami. Welcome to Bakersfield.
Haven't you ever wanted something more, Barry?
You should be serving your country. Your CIA.
You know, I've done the CIA before in the Bourne Identity, as you see there, among other things.
To deliver stuff for us.
Here was a chance to explore kind of this relationship between the kind of by the book, believing in the mission of fighting the Cold War, and that guy, played by Donald Gleason, being in business with Barry Seal, who never saw a rule he wasn't willing to break, basically an outlaw.
You trust me?
No.
And how Barry Seal basically ran circles around the CIA. Basically got into business with the Colombian drug cartel.
Roscoe dug this up in the backyard. There are bills blown around.
We did love that the money started to become a problem, which really was something for Barry Seal.
Well, I actually haven't seen Tom Cruise in a long time, so maybe I'll watch it, maybe I won't. All right, I just heard in my studio that Tiago just popped in, so I'll say hi to Tiago. Tiago, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, and you? Good. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, everything is great. How you been?
I've been doing great, been doing awesome. You really should watch that movie. Awesome movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it about a month ago with my daughter. It was an amazing movie. Tom Cruise, probably I'd say one of Tom Cruise's best movies. Absolutely.
Well, Jason Kristoff was alluding that it was pulled from Flix or Amazon. Does that sound right?
If it was, I don't know. I downloaded it on Torrent.
Me too. But it doesn't seem very controversial to me. Obviously, it's authorized by the CIA. To be released. I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, I read about Barry Seal and the whole Pablo Escobar thing, probably a couple decades ago. So that's why I really wanted to see the movie as soon as it came out on Torrent. But I found it quite fascinating. It was great. He did a good job. Excellent job.
One of the things I did last night, I usually don't take any breaks from research, which is wrong. I should. But somebody recommended a Netflix documentary called Untold. There's a series called Untold, and one of the untold stories was the mayhem on what was the name of that documentary? Oh yeah, Malice in the Palace? Malice in the Palace. It was about the Indiana Pacers and Detroit Pistons in the Auburn Palace, where they attacked a couple drunks in the stands. It was a pretty interesting movie where we're talking about blacks, but the three massive black players on the Pacers mixed it up with another couple just monsterly sized guys in Detroit, and they got into a fight, and then the fans got into it, and the whole story is just about how a couple of the Pacers went up and just started wailing on the fans because they threw stuff at them.
Is that with Reggie Miller?
You got it. Well, Reggie Miller wasn't playing, yeah. And I don't know all the players. The three guys that got the worst of it, I can't remember their names right off the top, to be honest with you, but it was just a very interesting story.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know why Netflix would take down the American or the Tom Cruise movie there about Barry Seal. So I don't know. I found it a fantastic movie. I loved it. It was really good.
Yeah, that was just one of the movies that Jason Christoph recommended, and I always try and watch some of the stuff that he recommends because the guy is just. Just one of the top researchers, especially in and around what we're talking about all the time here.
Yes.
And he's always touting his 34 vaccine damage movies that I'm pretty sure I've got most of them at fake11.com/vax, V-A-X. Mm-hmm. I've downloaded most of them and I put them in a shareable folder. If anyone wants to download the whole folder or just pieces of it, you can use a program called Resilio Sync that should just pop up automatically when you go to fake11.com/vax. And I try and watch all his recommended stuff because it seems like we are on the same page a lot of the time. So yeah, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to bring American Made onto my into my world and take a peek and see if it's any good.
Yeah, have a look at it. You'll love it. I loved it. But I knew about the Barry Seal story, like I said, a couple of decades ago when I read the biography.
Think it's a real story? They said
I read the biography like honestly when I was probably 20 years old. So that was probably almost 30 years ago. So to be honest with you, I read it. I remember going to the library and reading it at the Dufferin St. Clair Library in Toronto. And, you know, I knew about Barry Seal many years ago. So whether it's real or not, I don't know. It's a great story. He was murdered. So I don't know whether it's real or, you know, every little aspect in that movie's correct and real. There were some differences in the book to the movie, but you know, it's Hollywood, right? They're going to make it, more exciting, you know, for everybody to watch. But I think Tom Cruise did a really good job. He did a good job.
Okay. I'll just say hi to everyone quickly in the chat. Everyone likes to hear their name. I know I do. Pear was first. Napoleon Wilson, hello. He's on the Telegram, fake11.com/telegram. Lost Spider Phallus. Hello, Dirty Benny. He's the top contributor over at Fakeologist Forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. Tunax, hello. I think he's from the US. And of course, we've got Ed Olianak. And that might be a new voice or a new person on YouTube. Jerry Gergich, hello. And who else do we have here? Anyone else? Peter Roo, hello. Yes, Christoph is hard on coffee drinking. You drink coffee, Diego?
No, not at all. I haven't had coffee maybe for probably about 30 years, maybe since I was 18 or 19. Yeah, I only drink like water and fruit juice, like natural in my blender. That's it.
Well, so you do keep yourself healthy. It is kind of funny. And I guess the people have an argument against those that are refusing the experimental biological injection that regularly pollute their body with coffee, alcohol, pot. It is, or they're also on lots of pharmaceuticals as well. So it is sort of ironic in that sense.
Yeah, you know, I'm always, look, if you want to, you know, drink Coca-Cola, coffee, tea, hot chocolate, that's up to you. Go ahead, you know. The point is we have freedom of choice, mm-hmm. or perceived freedom of choice right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm vegan, so I don't push none of my beliefs in terms of, you know, what I eat, my diet. I just plain, you know, more do it because I'm a cyclist and a triathlete.
Oh, right.
I find it. Yeah, so for me, it's a lot better on my body. My body consumes those carbs really easily. And so, you know, it's easier for me to consume 3 bananas, you know, as opposed to consuming, a 10-ounce steak before I go for a bike ride. So for me, being vegan is optimal. I haven't been sick in like 20, 25 years. I don't even remember what it's like to be sick.
Yeah, well, very good. Interesting. It's funny because one of the other untold documentaries on Netflix, or you can probably get it off the torrents, is called Breakpoint. It's just about tennis in the United States, how they were trying to create a new top breed of tennis stars, and they were talking about health and food and whatnot. So I can't remember. My memory is just the worst right now. It's a story about Mardi Fish and Roddick. I can't remember Roddick's first name. Two players. Anyway.
Oh, no.
It's called a Breakpoint. It's just a discussion on and even Novak Djokovic is in the documentary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's the guy who was in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, he was coming up in the tennis world when these two guys, it's Andy Roddick. So when those two guys were trying to become tops in the tennis world, Djokovic was starting to percolate. But I guess the best tennis player in the world was Pete Sampras, and they couldn't get by that guy. Anyway. These are not necessarily recommendations, but I was watching them.
Just yeah, no.
A little break no. from everything we're going through.
Oh, no, absolutely. Sometimes you just want to talk about something different other than vaccine and trucker convoy. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. But so how are you feeling about the trucker convoy in Ottawa? I think the more important point is the one in Coutts, Alberta.
Yeah, I'm following both of them, and just so everyone knows what I'm doing, and I even convinced Mrs. Fakeologist to join in, I created a thread on Fakeologist forums, and the reason I do this is so people can easily follow it. I've only got 329 views on this particular thread. What I do is it's mostly on Twitter that I find the up-to-date videos and links. What I do is I just post those, put those tweets in this thread, and if you go right to the bottom, you go right to the last page of the thread by clicking on the biggest number, which is 5. You'll see the latest and greatest. And I'm following Coutts. Coutts is the border point in Alberta, Montana, and there's some kind of blockade there. And I don't know what the latest is on that. This is from this morning. So it's a bit of a Mexican standoff, even though it's not in Mexico. And yeah, I think the trucker convoy, I still think it's real. It's fairly organic. I still think it's worth it, even if it is not necessarily going to change anything or the agenda. It does show that Canadians needed some kind of rallying point besides Chris Sky. It does show a large contingent, and I don't know where they got the 50,000 truckers. Now there may have been a large number of truckers that maybe joined the convoy and then left the convoy as it sort of passed through their area, because not everyone can take a month off to go to Ottawa, especially at this time of year. I would. It's got to be the most miserable place to be. Second coldest capital.
Yeah, it's getting it's actually getting pretty big out there in Coots, Alberta. I was watching some videos. There's more truckers, more farming, farming equipment coming down. They're serious, man. They're not going to. I'm following the Coots thing a lot more than I am the Ottawa thing.
Yes, yes. And because Alberta is sort of the Texas of Canada, so that's got the probably the most rebellious faction of Canadians anywhere, for sure, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. I think the moment, the true moment is going to be when the police are given the orders to go in there and arrest everybody. I think at that point, that moment in time is going to be a defining history in this country.
I agree with you, and I'm just, I find the best place to find my info, but maybe you would disagree, maybe you're on Facebook more, is Twitter for the latest videos. It gives links and gets you on to other places. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I get some of my stuff from pretty much everywhere. I get people sending me stuff, so absolutely. You know, I hope they're okay. I hope they make it out of this without any problems. But
it says the Alberta blockade has already ended. Is this disinfo? RCMP have reported trucks are now leaving.
No, they said they're not leaving until the mandates are all lifted. And not only that, Ab, they're doing a blockade in the state of Maine here. I think it's with Nova Scotia or New Brunswick. They're doing another one in Winnipeg. Yeah, they're doing multiple border point, clogging it up. So this is going to get even bigger by the looks of it.
Yeah, this is one website, Rally for Resources. It's also on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That might be one of the better places to get this. It's hard to. There's lots of disinfo, but they won't. Yeah, listen, who else do we have fighting on Canadians' behalf? There's really nobody.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. They booted Erin O'Toole there from the PC government there. And now that young lady is in there, and I was hoping the other guy would have got in, Pierre Poilievre, but we'll see what happens. And I just hope these truckers are okay, man, because we all know from the bottom of our hearts that the moment in time is when those police are given that order, that minute, that day, to go arrest and remove everybody. Then, like I said, I think it's going to be a very defining point on what happens that day in Canadian history. Mm-hmm. So I hope they're okay.
By okay, what do you mean? You think there's going to be violence? They're going to get attacked?
I think by definition, the phenomena that you're seeing with these truckers and across border points and hold up in cities like Ottawa, Winnipeg seems to be next, and then Toronto. I heard there's a big Toronto event this weekend as well. They're planning for. I think this phenomena that you see by its very nature, it might. Instigate violence by the police against the citizens themselves, because at some point we have to be honest with ourselves, and at some point these government officials are don't want to be embarrassed anymore, and at some point the police will be ordered to go in there and arrest and remove everybody. That will be a defining moment, and when I say I hope they're okay, I hope the truckers are okay, I hope nobody gets hurt, because These are the very types of situations that can explode at a moment's notice with all those people there. I hope everybody's okay. I really do, because I hate to see, Canadians, whether they're on the side of the freedom fighters or the police officers that are, being told what to do. I just hope everybody uses their intelligence instead of their physicality. I think this can be, negotiated and fixed with intelligence. There's a lot of smart people in Canada, and I just wish people would use more of the intelligence side of things and talk to each other, because I don't really see any dialogue between politicians and the normal blue collar guy.
Do you think? But this is the big question: Are our governments are all captured by the World Economic Forum, Big Pharma. The elite are using their money and channeling it through Big Pharma. They're the ones that installed all these public health institutions that have nothing to do with health and everything to do with setting a parallel government up to take over countries and bring them into the new world order. And I'm just curious, how can our, because we have to basically have all new people that are not connected to the World Economic Forum and Big Pharma. So we can't, how can we negotiate with the globalists? Because their salesmen, their minions, as Klaus Schwab said, are occupying our government. Our government does not represent Canadians.
Ab, you're 100% right. Yes, you're 100% right. I agree with you. The only real solution is not to comply. The nice thing about this trucker rally is it's involved, many thousands of people across Canada. It's woken up a lot of Canadians. And I think they're seeing that their freedoms are being taken away. And you're right, from the top down, we have a corrupt criminal organization. And I've always said that, the only real way to beat this corrupt organization is they need us. They need us to have these vaccine or data passports. They need us. So we cannot comply with this nonsense. We got to be strong. And I'm hopeful, in places like Ottawa and Coots, I'm hopeful of what I'm seeing. I'm seeing community. I'm seeing tow truck drivers that are not, they're being told by the police to go remove these vehicles and they're not doing it. So this is giving me hope.
That's key. They're going to need to bring tanks. If Canada has any tanks to push them out of there, bring in military tow trucks.
I have hope. My heart has hope, but my intelligence is very cautious. So we'll see what happens. And like I say, I hope when that day comes, when the order is given for them to go arrest everybody, I hope everybody's okay. That's it. So I hope nobody gets hurt and we'll see what happens. I hope it doesn't get to that. I hope we can solve this with intelligence and negotiation and instead of, getting it to where police and the citizens of Canada have, physical altercations and violence. I don't think it has to come to that, but, we'll see what happens.
Saying the Coots blockade is headed to Edmonton. What does that mean? Does that mean they're leaving Coots, Sweetgrass, and heading up to Edmonton? I don't get that. Or are they just splitting up?
No, I heard a lot of people from surrounding areas in Calgary and Edmonton are going to block those major cities in Alberta as well until the mandates are lifted.
Yeah, and apparently something is coming. They're going to do something in Toronto because that was on the way home today. We're focusing on Toronto now, saying there's going to be some kind of blockade in Toronto going down to our Queen's Park, Purple Palace.
I'm just
trying to find anything more recent in Coots by going on to the tweeters and see if there's anything here. Okay. I don't see anything right now. Yeah, but very fluid. And who would have thunk it? It's been about a week since we talked. Did you think that this trucker convoy, if we even heard of it a week ago, was going to turn out like this? Raise almost $11 million.
That's great news. Like, that's great that they raised all that money. And when you and I talked a week ago, I was pretty clear on how this was going to work. I told you that the only way that this is going to work is if they don't leave. I said the two clear examples of this is the Berlin Wall, week after week, month after month, people went there and did not leave until the police had no choice but to put down their guns and help the people. Okay, that was the first example. The second example are the Indian farmers. Day after day, week after week, month after month, those Indian farmers did not leave. They were assaulted, they were slapped around, and then more and more and more Indian farmers came until the government Modi, he gave up and the Indian farmers won. So those, you cannot leave Ottawa, you cannot leave Coots, no matter what. Like, this is, that's why I'm telling everybody, this is going to be a defining moment in Canadian and world history of what happens here. I just hope it doesn't end in violence. That's all I'm hoping for. I hope we can use our brains, our intelligence to figure this out. But it's very difficult to use your intelligence when you have a prime minister who doesn't even want to talk to you. That's another problem in politicians that don't even, they don't even want to communicate or acknowledge what's going on. So it's, they can't leave. That's the bottom line. And my friend, a friend of mine here in Sydney, Nova Scotia, went down to Ottawa. And he said, Diego, how long do you think this is going to last? I said, I don't care how long it's going to last. When you drive down there, you got to go with the expectation of staying on the Ottawa street for a year. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. I said, you guys got to stay no matter what, no matter how long it takes, or no matter how long it takes. You got to bust your balls.
Well, apparently a million of the 10 million or 11 million raised in GoFundMe has been released. There is another website called GiveSendGo, and I put a link through some of my fast links, fake11.com/adoptatrucker. I put it without the hyphens, but if you go to adopt-a-trucker.ca, you can also go, it'll also bring you to the GiveSendGo. And apparently that money is going to go more directly to the people on the streets. Because they need food, they mainly need diesel to keep the trucks running, because the trucks cost about $100 a day in diesel just to idle. Mm-hmm. I know this because it's about 5 liters an hour, 4 liters an hour, and a liter is $1.60 Canadian right now for diesel. Diesel's 10 cents more than gas right now, which is upside down. Oh, here's the fakeologist right here. If you look on the screen, I was looking. Okay, the fakeologist gave $40 to givesendgo.com. That's what I was looking for there. A little bit of self promotion there, but really I just put it there to show others that, yeah, I can put my money where my mouth is now and then.
No, that's great. Awesome. They should have did that from the beginning with GiveSendGo instead of GoFundMe.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so it looks like the original GoFundMe is over now. They looks like it's frozen now. It's under review, blah, 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 because they're talking about foreign money, whatever that has to do with the problem. I have no idea. So it looks like that stopped. So now everyone should flip over here. $40 will pay for, a little bit of fuel or some stew, and I see them creating campgrounds in the middle of the road with boiling pots of stew with stoves, portable camping stoves. So that's worthwhile.
Yes.
I really think people should consider doing this if you support it. I know 90, I would say about 60%. Let's go right back to the mass formation. I would say about 30% of people are for hardcore for the mandates. And then there's the 40% in the middle. And then there's the 30% that are sort of against it or completely against it. I think there's 10% of people like me that are hardcore against vaccines mandates because they've done the research, not for no other reason.
Yeah, I think people like you and I and everybody in the room listening here, I don't even think we're the 10%. I think you and I and all the people in Fakeologists that listen to the show are 1%, because we're we're really hardcore. We're actually vaccine abolitionists.
Yeah,
and I don't really see too many people like that. So I consider ourselves very, very 1%, very hardcore against all this nonsense.
Yeah, you're a health guy. Plus, well, I find a lot of people that are interested in health and what to eat and how to take care of your body. You just naturally gravitate towards being vaccine abolitionists. They go hand in hand because you know you're conscious of what you are doing with your body.
I think you're 100% right, and Well, the example about that is when I was like 16 or 17, I always hated getting the flu shot. My mom made me go get it. And, and I hated it getting it. And something, I don't know what it is, my intuition maybe told me not to get it. So when I was like 17, 18 years old, at that particular moment in time, I stopped getting it. And I never had one since. So, and it was, to me, it's natural. Why should I inject myself? Why can't I just go eat healthy fruits and vegetables and go exercise? And then, you know, funny thing happened. I'd never been sick in 25 years, nothing. So I've been actually perfect.
Did you get sick with the flu shots? Do you remember that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Absolutely. I got a sore arm for like a few hours. That really bugged the shit out of me. And then, and then I got a cough and sick. And then as soon as I stopped taking vaccines, maybe 6 months to a year after, I never had anything ever again. Nothing.
Mm, great.
Yeah, nothing. And my daughter now, she doesn't get any vaccines either. So she's going to be, you know, for the rest of her life, vaccine free. So we don't need it. We don't need it. We're fine. Fruits and vegetables and exercise. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Many people, including Paul Alexander, who is a bit of a virus hugger, but he's at least blowing up some of the data regarding the injected. And this is really, most people understand this is going to be a pandemic, if you want to call it that, of the injected. And I hadn't seen too many graphs of vaccine or illness that is recorded after the first injection. But now I'm starting to see this. And I think they said the Alberta statistics were accidentally released. But I just posted a link to what's this podcast called? It is hold on here. Ryan, it's The Last Vagabond, I believe. Let me just bring it up here real quick. He's talking about it. So this graph from Alberta that was supposedly accidentally released shows that hospitalization after the first injection, we're not talking about vaccinated or unvaccinated because those are phony terms. And Paul Alexander's talking about it, even though he's a virus hugger. So just really, this is the only statistic I think is really relative. What happens to people after their first injection? And how soon after do they get sick or hospitalized? Mm. Anyway, so the first cut is the deepest. That's what I called it. So if you click here, then you can see the graphs that were put up and then deleted. And basically it just shows from Alberta Health Services, which is the public health service that was installed beside their normal governmental agency. You can see the number of days between first, they call it an immunization date, and so-called COVID diagnosis.
So, yes.
But yeah, so they're attributed, anytime someone is sick, they said it's because of COVID. And actually, I just bumped into a guy who I thought was in holidays at work today. And I asked him how Jamaica was. He said, "What do you make? I've been sick for 2 weeks." And I said, "Why? What happened? I thought you were on vacation." And he said he had the booster. So he's had all three. And he's been just sick in bed the whole time. And I said, "I caught COVID." I said, "Wait a second. When did you get your injections?" And I just gave him the bad news that it's the injections that are making you sick. It's not COVID. COVID doesn't exist. It's a syndrome. He was quite surprised. He never really heard about that, but he still didn't look very well, but he had to come to work anyway. These people just aren't given the news. Just because we research it, we can't assume everyone understands this.
Yes, that's true as well. That's true. But you would figure that after these vaccines and you're getting pretty, you know, feeling pretty shitty or having some sort of a, you know, adverse reaction, you would figure in my head, I'd be like, holy shit, man, my body didn't like this too much. Maybe I shouldn't take any more of these. That's what I would be going through my head. So, it's some people, I don't know. Like I've always said, some people have different intelligence and intuition levels about themselves. But I'm still getting flack from some of your viewers for not liking coffee. It's not that I don't like coffee. I love coffee. I haven't had it for, you know, since I was maybe 18 or 19. But when I drank it back then, you know, I guess my heart has some sort of sensitivity to it. My heart is just accelerating and I can't sleep and I start shaking on coffee. So that's probably the primary reason that I don't, you know, I hate feeling like that, but I do love the taste of coffee. Don't get me wrong. So, so for all you coffee drinkers out there, I'm not dissing coffee.
I never got into coffee and I don't understand the attraction of it. Occasionally I've had a coffee, but I usually only like it if I pollute it with cream and sugar, and then it's not really coffee after that.
Oh,
I never understood it. Just like I don't understand necessarily the taste of beer just for the sake of drinking beer. Never. I'm just a nonconformist, I suppose. So, coffee drinker, and just not because I'm trying to be hard to get along with. I just never saw the attraction. My mom used to like the smell of it. I used to make it for my mother. That was back in the day when you ground the coffee and put it in the filter and then poured the hot water through it. So now I know people call automatic now, but anyhow.
Yeah, you're like me. I'm not into the beer either. I'm not into drinking anyway, but much less beer, but I might see you in the summertime. I might, it looks like at this point that I'm going to be coming down to Toronto this summer with my daughter. So I might, if you don't mind, if you want, we can connect and go for a hot chocolate or whatever.
Yeah, you know, sure.
If we're allowed. And
all right, that's exciting. Good for you. How are you going to get over the Canadian border? Do you think the border will be relaxed in between provinces, or is that a thing?
Oh no, we could drive to, if they don't let me on an airplane by then, if they haven't lifted all these mandates by then, that's okay. I'll just, me and my daughter already, we already planned it out. We're going to drive there instead. So, we're going to come down. I got to take her to the Portuguese consulate. I'm going to make an appointment. I want to, you know, figure out, she's got a couple, little Portuguese documents that I need to get her in order for her to get her full European citizenship. And, that's why we're
coming down. Is that worthwhile getting, do you figure?
You know what? It is for me, because I want her to get it, because in the future, you know, if she ever wants to travel with her little friends and take a trip to Europe and want to go and visit family and stay there or work or whatever she wants to do, at least she has the option of being a European citizen, and she can work and stay there without any permits or anything like that.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Yeah. I hope my children can travel too eventually, because they definitely wanted to, but just the way things are going, I still think you're going to have to be super patient for this whole thing to blow over or blow out. But,
yeah, I told her that too. I said, you know, we got to be patient. We'll see what happens here, and you know, take it day by day, and support these people that are trying to, you know, help us out. So, but I'll be seeing you, man. It'll be great. Right. Have a good time.
All right, sure. If I can get some time off, I'm sure that'll be fine. Here's just another video here.
Good morning, everybody. So here's our kind of mid-morning update. There's more and more people showing up. We've got some Super Bees. We got stock trailers.
This is this
morning. We had some
morning.
More tractors just show up. We got multiple manure spreaders that showed up. So we were hoping that they'd be loaded, because really they need to deposit. That's just an opinion. There's people here with their kids. You can see some younger folks.
All right. So that's a bit of a report from the front. Here's another something or other. Oh, this was the press conference today with Tamara Litch, who was from the Maverick Party. It wasn't that interesting.
Who is she? What's her backstory? It's the first time I'm seeing her.
She is had something to do with the Maverick Party, which is the Western Separatist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't really blame them for wanting to separate for all this time, because they were pretty much giving all their oil money to Quebec to equalize payments. We have these things called equalization payments. So anyone that has resources or is frugal with their spending to have to fork it over as a sort of a tax to another province is to me ridiculous.
They have the same problem here in Sydney. They're crying about equalization payments from Halifax as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's her story. She's kind of mysterious. Filling their backpacks. Where is she here?
With the Ottawa Police.
She is right here. That's her.
We want to thank the hundreds of residents of Ottawa who have stepped forward to show their support, providing accommodations, food, and just plain friendship to members of our convoy. This love of community is what Canada is all about. Let me assure the people of Ottawa that we have no intent to stay one day longer than necessary. Our departure will be based on the Prime Minister doing what is right.
To me, just the ragtag nature of this thing makes it seem fairly realistic. I know that the John the Bond Discord server was saying that it's probably somehow controlled or staged, but there's always going to be elements and there's always going to be interferers and infiltrators into any gathering. I think as long as you're aware of that, that's fine. But overall, it doesn't seem like it's very centralized in any
way. Yeah, I agree with you. Now here's a question that I have for you and all the viewers. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, you were Prime Minister Trudeau and you knew that the central banksters, the central planners came down to you, let's say a couple of months ago and said, hey, Justin, you know, we're going to end this pandemic thing. We're going to slowly release everything, let's say by March or April.
Right.
And then gradually from there, we're going to enter into the climate change phase. Okay. So now you're the Prime Minister. You have this knowledge. You know that it's going to be ending. But all of a sudden, this whole trucker thing explodes in your face and you're not prepared for this. Not mm-hmm. part of the plan. Now, knowing the information that you know now as the Prime Minister of Canada, you were just told by the central planners, what mm-hmm. would be your strategy in dealing with this whole trucker thing? How would you go about utilizing the information that you have that nobody knows about, of course? And now, you know, how would you move forward as a Prime Minister knowing what you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I think is going on here.
Hmm. Well,
he already knows.
He already knows the plan. Everyone knows the plan. If it's unfolding as it should throughout Europe, where they're slowly bringing everything down, they're reversing and they are dropping the mandates. But it doesn't. I don't know what the fine print is on these dropping of the mandates. Whether the passport is still in place or not, or it's ready to go at a hair trigger notice. But it just seems to me that, Canada may be the last of all the countries to just say, okay, we're going to relax it for the spring and summer. So everything just might coincidentally line up anyway, and then everyone will go home.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So they might look at this and sort of take advantage and gain quote unquote points with the public in eventually coming to the table and negotiating and pretend negotiating.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And you see what I'm saying? And then he looks good. So at first he's got to be tough. He's got, you know, for the left wing libtards, he's got to pretend he's got to be tough. But slowly he's going to make it happen. Or that's what he's going to be told what to do, of course. He's useless, right? So he's going to be told what to do. But
do you think that this lady from the Maverick Party, who was allegedly the one that triggered this whole thing, do you think she's part of it? You only need one person to trigger it, and then all the other people that pile on.
You know what? I like your thinking.
Have to be involved knowing the plan. None of them do. You just need one trigger. So if this woman was the trigger, because they kind of acknowledge that today.
Yes. Yes.
So she's sort of a rebel outside the system, allegedly, even though there's just no such thing. Like, you can't separate a province without the backing of the controllers. You just can't.
Yeah, you're right. I think what's going on here, you know, if I had to piece the game plan together, mm-hmm. would be that this whole truck convoy thing, was initiated by the government with a couple of people like herself, you know, people that I've, you know, like I've never heard of her until this moment in time in history. So it's possible the government could have started it. They could have used their mainstream media to hype things up a little bit more, get her more attention, get her more followers, get everybody on board. And and the reason for this is because now it gives the Trudeau government down the line a much easier, simplistic way to get out of this COVID thing. And it makes it look like the people wanted it. And it makes it easy for the Canadian government and all governments, you know, to get out of this, to backpedal out of this. You know, so we'll see what happens. I don't know, but that's, you know, could be, you know, one strategy that they're using. And they might use this trucker thing as an advantage for themselves, for meaning for the government, to backpedal and get out of this in a much easier fashion.
Yeah, I still think that the majority of Canadians, say just 51%, are happy with the government and what they're doing. They believe in the virus. They believe that it's just taking longer in Ontario, which makes no sense. Why, for instance, are most of the United States relaxing? They're not masked up. They're not really into this. I don't understand the cognitive dissonance that the majority of Canadians have. They can just look at it everywhere and no one is necessarily looking worse for wear for not going along with it in the U.S. Because one thing about Canada, we always watch the U.S. We get all their media. We can't avoid it. We can see the contrast. They're playing big hockey games with lots of crowds. We're not. I'm amazed listening to Canadians struggle with that notion. Well, why are we doing it up here? Well, it's different here. How could it be different here? Makes no sense. But people are going along with it.
Yeah, that's the thing here. You say 51%, I say 90% here in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of hate here in Cape Breton and in Nova Scotia in general. You know, towards the truckers. The people
really?
The people, oh my God. Ab, you got to see it. If you were here, you wouldn't even believe it, that what these people say over here.
Well, they're dependent. And they're the kind of people that the government needs and wants. Dependent. They're dependent. That is what the New World Order, they want dependent people, period.
Yeah,
you guys are already dependent.
Yes, they're all on POGI, on government assistance.
And maybe Scandinavians are too, because they've been relaxed. Because maybe they already are dependent enough with their 75% tax rate, effective tax rate, after they add up all the little things. They're already dependent. What was Steve from Space Busters telling me? He says that 60% of the economy is government.
Yes. Yeah.
They're already where the New World Order wants people to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to one of my neighbors here, and she said she kept her two kids home from school so they don't get COVID. And I said to her, I said, you do realize that in Sweden, Florida, Texas, South Dakota, Kentucky, you know, their schools were never closed. You know, those children have been at school all this time without masks and they've been fine. You know, none of them are dying. Things have gone on like normal. And she just looks at me with like it's unbelievable, man. Like what these people believe.
Every county is different, though. It's really hard to say that all the U.S. is, because California, and we still hear reports of I don't get the up to the minute reports of New York City, but they still have the vaccine mandates for the restaurants, and there's many schools. So and a lot of the Oregon is completely gone when it comes to the masking. They're just completely bought into it. So it's very, very diverse, even through the U.S. as well. I don't think the U.S. is necessarily any better off overall. I would never even just like to make a generalized statement about the U.S. because it's so different in different counties. There's over 3,000 counties in the U.S. So they all have their own public health departments that are slightly different. But I think overall people still buy into the virus, that this is a real virus, and the masks and the injections are what's required. I think people are drug addicts mostly. legal drug addicts, that is. So
yes, yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's, to me, it's, well, to us, it's crazy, but you know, we'll see where this whole thing ends. I've always said that this is not going to end well.
Goal is still, we have to remember, the end goal is still the digital passports, because they want to control people on a granular level. They want to control what you eat, where you go, how much carbon you burn up. They want all of that. And this is all part of the depopulation. When they want to decarbonize the earth, you're the carbon.
Yeah, you want to know, you want to hear my my opinion on the data passports and what they're going to do with that. I think, in my opinion, I think they've maxed out the COVID thing. The COVID thing is totally maxed out. Now, they understand, and I'm just giving round numbers here. I don't know what the numbers are here are, but let's say, for example, 30 to 40% of people in Canada have not taken the vaccine. Let's say that's the real numbers. So that means they don't have a vaccine passport.
Right.
So if I was a central bankster, I would say, no problem. You guys don't have it. How are we going to get the rest of the population to get it willingly? That is so easy to do. What we're going to do is, when the market crashes, we're going to come up with that digital dollar, the Fed coin. And for you to participate in society, there's not going to be no more physical money.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you are going to have to download that app on your phone, no matter what, for you to participate and have access to money and to exchange that fiat currency for goods at a store. That will be 100%. And then that way, the rest of the 30-40% will have to do it no matter what. Because now the new commerce of business is going to be the new fiat currency, the digital currency. So if I was a central bankster, I would not be worried at all. I'd say, okay, we maxed out the COVID thing. Don't worry, we're going to get them when the reset happens and when we go digital. That's where we're going to get the rest of them. Don't worry, they're all going to have to. They're all going to have to
do that at the beginning. Why do they have to bring this damn injection business?
Because they wanted to kill people, right? Sterilize people, slow down the, you know, population, the production of population, slow that down, the population curve. So that's probably one of their goals, or was one of their goals. Now that it's complete, phase one is complete, they're going to move on to phase two.
Or it was the only way they could stop the economy. They could just say, listen, we're going to stop the economy now. That they really needed a decent excuse.
Yeah, it's part and parcel of the, there's a part of that that's part of the economy. Yeah, absolutely. But they could have made the vaccine non-lethal, right? They could have made it a non-lethal and nobody got hurt if it was just about the economy, right? But obviously it's not. So they to me, it's some sort of a depopulation strategy that they have. And in conjunction with that, they're not worried. If I was a central bank guy, I would not be worried. I'd be like, no worries. We're going to get Tiago. We're going to get Ab. We're going to get all these guys later on. We're going to get Tunax. We're going to get all these guys later on. When the market crashes, we go digital, because then we're going to force everyone to get the app. And if you don't have the app, you're not doing commerce, that period. And that's it. They're going to force us.
Yeah, and well, okay. And there's enough people that want the vaccine. They want it. Yeah. And the other thing is, the people at the top don't necessarily all agree. So maybe we had different factions saying, listen, we want the vaccines brought in. The other one said, okay, you can do that, but we want this. There might have been some negotiation at the top level. There's no hegemony is the right word, at the very top. Those people argue too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But I think in the grand scale of things, their vision is one and the same, which is the data passports to control everybody.
Yeah.
Now, what route they take to get to that point, of course, that's going to be up for negotiation, as you mentioned. And you might have rival factions within the central banking community, of course. But the one vision, the one thing that is constant is that data passport, that everybody has it. And make no mistake, I think the route that they're going to take is, don't worry, Tiago, don't worry, Ab, we're going to get you when we go digital. That's where you guys are going to get nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're not going to be able to go to Sobeys. You're not going to be able to go to Walmart and go buy stuff for your children or your wife without having that digital app. You know why? Because Walmart and Sobeys, they're part of the cabal. They're going to do what those central bank people say. So if those central bank people say, hey, Walmart, you guys are only going to be allowed to accept fiat currency in digital format the way it is with the new central bank application on the phone. And Walmart is going to say, absolutely, no problem.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe they just needed the plague idea, the virus idea, just to get this ship redirected towards where the central bankers want it. So it's like a nuclear explosion if nukes were real, or a massive TNT explosion. They just want to change the course of this economic ship. They needed an excuse. They didn't really want to start a war, or they couldn't start a war. So they just decided to blow up this virus thing. They got everyone going on believing it, and then buying into some giving Big Pharma a big kick by allowing them to experiment on the population with these injections, which is, I guess, a goal they've always had, to spread testing of different poisons to see if it actually worked, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the plan served it's a multi-purpose serving plan.
Yeah.
So it's not just for data passports, right? It's probably a depopulation method, multitude of things that it serves.
Yeah, the elite have numerous goals.
Yes.
But one of the big one is just to control everybody centrally. Get rid of countries, central command, where if their goal really is to reduce the population to this tiny number and to get everyone off the land and for rewilding purposes and get everyone stacked and packed in cities for just easier herd management. It's all part of a large plan of decarbonization, which is you're the carbon.
Yeah, and it's a large plan, but don't forget, it's a long-term plan. This is not, within the next year or two. We're talking a 50-year plan. We're talking, by the time all the herd is thinned out, so to speak, all these people die of all these diseases from the vaccines, and the ones who didn't die can't reproduce anymore. By then, it's going to be so manageable for them. Just think of it. If you were that powerful and you wanted to control all these people, you know that you're not going to do it at this moment in time. You're going to say, okay, my son is going to do it. My central bank son is going to be able to do that down the line, because the population is going to be very thinned out, going to be very easily manageable, and they're all going to be on data passports because that's the only way they're going to be able to function financially.
Right. So all of us, the only thing I really want to know is all us holdouts that didn't get the injection, we're going to be able to participate in the society without getting the injection, because they need us all into the data passports, the life passports, whatever you want to call them. And since most people are going to use these injection passports are getting the injection passports just because they believe in the virus and the injection, since the majority is going to go this way, then the rest will be allowed to participate without the injections, just because the majority is already there because of the injection. So we'll be able to function in society without being poisoned, I guess is my biggest.
It's very possible, and it depends on how they change their focus. And I think the next 6 months is going to be it's going to tell us a lot of what's going to be happening here. So, if the end goal for them is the data passports, then I suspect that they know that they've run their course with the vaccines. They know that whoever's not going to get them at this point is not going to get them. It's been 2 years, and I think the long term plan is, don't worry, we're going to get Ab, we're going to get Tiago, we're going to get all the fakeologist viewers, we're going to get these guys down the line. Don't worry about it. They're still going to be on a passport, on a data informational passport. and we're going to get them financially instead of medically. Yeah.
Because they need our money. Yeah. And and the majority of the people are signed up to it because we scared them with the virus, therefore the injection, therefore the passports. So they're on board with, so they're convinced of the passport, and because the majority of people are buying into it, then the way we'll get the rest is just say, listen, you guys, don't worry about it, but you still need this if you want to get into Walmart or get into the grocery store.
Absolutely, because you're going to say, well, I got Bitcoin, I got gold, I got silver, palladium, or platinum, and Walmart's going to say, sorry, we're only taking the new digital Fed coin.
Right. The world coin.
Yep, that's it, period. And you're going to be forced to get that application on your phone. So they're not worried. If, like I said, if I was a central bankster, Tiago, Ab, and all the rest of the boys and girls over at Fakeologist, it's a matter of time. You're going to be on that app.
Tom Barry says Alberta is releasing a plan Monday or Tuesday to remove restrictions, including vax ports, announced 3 hours ago.
Perfect. So we'll see. We'll see what the next six, just because they're releasing the passports now or, you know, soon, within the next 30 days, let's say, doesn't mean they're going to release them forever. We'll see what happens. We'll keep a close eye on things in the next 6 to 12 months. And if you see this whole COVID narrative, you know, actually totally disappearing in the next 12 months, that means it's even more frightful than I thought. That means they will be moving into a climate change, which could last into a decade or more.
Why is that frightful, though? I'm only worried about dying.
You're not.
Why is the COVID narrative more frightful?
I think it's going to be more restrictive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not going to be more kill you, though.
It's not going to kill you, but they're going to say, you know, things like, you know, these carbon taxes, you're not allowed to drive your car over a certain amount of kilometers every month, you know, all this nonsense. You can only fly so many times a year, so many kilometers of flight. And that is what the data passports are for. You see, they need us to participate in these data passports if they want the climate control and world control. They need us, and that's why they have such a hard on for us to get these data passports. Yeah. And for me, guys like me and you, they're going to do it financially instead of medically, because they know that me and you are never going to get the needle. So they're going to say, okay, fuck it. We'll do it a different way. We'll get them financially. Mm-hmm. So they need us, right? And for the plan to work, for the climate change plan to work, meaning for us to see if Ab drives more than 100 kilometers a month on his personal car, he's got to have a data passport to record all that.
Yes,
these pricks need us. They know. See, this is the incremental plan to, you know, for world, you know, the control that they want. But they need those data passports. That's the key to the whole thing.
Well, that was always the end game. The end game is the data passports to control all human activity, all carbon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tunax is saying underground shop to supply the non-COVID black market. I love, you know what? Me and Tunax would probably get along in real life. You know, the black market is going to be there, Tunax. Always there, the black market, right? So,
Market's always been there. But if they make the white market more convenient, the black market goes away. I still think there's a black market marijuana business. But
yes.
But I think the white market is the majority now, just because it's at your corner store. Why would, and you can take it back if the product's no good, and you don't get killed if you're trying to find your local drug dealer, et cetera, et cetera. I just think that, and same with music. Apple made music 99 cents because most people just don't have the wherewithal, intelligence, ability to download something. So if they can just press a button and get their music for 99 cents, that's the friction point that they've decided is the is low enough for the average person to bite on.
So. Yeah. I mean, look, the black market at, you know, on some level will always mm-hmm. exist no matter right. what, right? People right. want, people do illegal shit and want illegal shit all the time, right? So, right. but when I speak about the majority of people, they're not going to, the majority of people don't deal in the black market, right? So, mm-hmm. But they need us. They need us to have these data passports because that will give them the information for all the climate change bullshit.
Right.
So, but don't worry. They're going to get us. They're going to get people like me and you because they're going to yeah. say, well, Tiago, you want to continue.
I'm not resisting that.
Yeah,
I'm not resisting that because I just am resisting the part where I could potentially lose my health in any version of, whether it be death or eyesight or any of those things.
No, you're not going to get it. And you know, we'll see what happens in the next few months, but if COVID totally disappears, the whole COVID war disappears, be prepared for much, much, much worse restrictions when they start talking about the climate change and how it's killing the CO2's killed a whole bunch of birds and all this nonsense. And now we got to do climate change lockdowns, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the CO2 curve. Yes. Then we got problems. Then we're going to have even bigger problems because I think the climate change thing is not going to be 2 years. I think it's going to run us over a decade, maybe even more, you know, in conjunction with a couple of wars and the financial crisis. So, and that'll be it. They have it planned out. If I was a central bank guy, I would have everything, you know, everything would be on point. My plan would be on point. Would not miss a beat.
Yeah, and the trucker rally, as we laid out, could easily have been incited by this one person, and they knew, because don't forget, they do polls probably 24/7. They use the internet data mining. They're doing polls all the time, so they probably knew they could start a little bit of a trucker fire, and they did, and it's been pretty harmless for the most part, as far as I can tell. And then they ease the restrictions. The restrictions are being eased worldwide before the trucker convoy anyway, I think. So we're just going to be last to the easing of restrictions. So it'll all look like the government is the good guy in the end, and that's what they want. So
yes, and you know what? Has anybody asked yet? When Trudeau mandated these vaccines for the truckers, maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe his little central bank buddies that have the team of psychologists say, hey, Justin, come out and tell everyone that we're going to mandate vaccines for truckers, because they knew that the truckers were going to do an insurrection. And then with the help of the media and the little, like you said, a couple of characters, movie characters, and incitement with the mainstream media, hey, voila, we got ourselves a trucker rally in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. A fairly harmless rally. Oh yeah. And Biden put his cross-border trucker mandate in at the same time. It was synchronized perfectly. There was no difference in timing. It was the same weekend. So it's been planned for months. So to me, it none of it's surprising. And the other thing about truckers, the main truckers that are involved are the independent truckers. Those are small businesses. And if they want to get rid of those small businesses, they're the ones that are going to rise up against it, because all owner operators are independent businesses.
Yes.
So it all folds perfectly. So none of this is probably really organic. It's just completely orchestrated, managed, and it's no surprise.
The more I look at it, the more I think this is orchestrated, initiated by the central planners to help them paint a much more beautiful picture of the government as they backpedal and get out of this and move into climate change. Absolutely. And then it makes them look good, because he's going to be all tough at first, and then give it a couple of weeks, he will come to the negotiation table, if you will, and mm-hmm. make it look like he's talking to the truckers. Okay, we're going to release the mandates, everybody's happy. And it looks like the government now are the good guys. The Liberal Party, you know, get some voting power back.
Right, right.
Very slick, very slick. I mean, very beautiful. If I was central planners, my God, that's exactly what I would do. I would be like, oh, this is perfect. Perfect. Tell the idiot Justin Trudeau to play tough at first. Play tough. We're not going to negotiate.
Well, in his case, they just told him to run away and hide. That was sort
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah. Go to the cottage and play tough. When you come out, here's the script that you're going to read. You know, mention the we're not scared, we're not intimidated, and you know, make it look good, right? And then in a couple of weeks, we'll negotiate with them and we'll make it look good, and we'll get to backpedal out of this.
Yeah, sounds like a plan, and sounds like it's their plan, and yeah, okay. All right. Well, that was a good show. Thanks for joining. You're always entertaining, always interesting. And I think we've pretty much figured everything out.
We figured it out for another
2 weeks, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks for having me. And till next time, everybody.
All right. Thank you for joining. And have a great night. And we'll talk to you in another week or so when something else exciting is going on.
All right, brother. I'll be here, man. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you, Tiago from Sydney, Nova Scotia. And his Facebook group is Silenced Voices of Canada. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And don't forget, the next time you'll hear from me and anyone else is the Rick and Rollo Show. Always entertaining. It's there's a little bit of fakeology in there. Not much. Those are realologists. And that's Saturday morning about 4 in the morning Eastern time, if you're crazy enough to be awake. And after that Sunday, I am doing a show in the afternoon for my Bulgarian friend John LeBon and IPS. That'll be Sunday around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you want to join in then. And then, of course, we'll go back to our regular schedule. So that is the plan. And if you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate. You don't like the show, you can go to the same site and make a donation. Don't forget our forums. Don't forget FakoTube. Don't forget our Discord, our Telegram. But mainly, I want to get everyone on the forum. So send me an email at im@fakeologist.com and I will add you to the forums and to the blog. And thanks for the regulars for joining in. All the best. And we will see you next time. Have a good night.